So yeah, we'll be talking about what I've learned working with GoPGP and how to scale it. So first about me, I'm a software engineer at Cisco. I mainly worked on Dataplane, DPP, and GoPGP, PGP control plane. So I will be not talking about VPP since there have been many talk about it yet. And also, I like cycling, so if you want to talk about that also, we can talk about it at the end. Small disclaimer, you'll see this logo. This is a real GoPGP logo, and I've made some AI-generated one for the talk. Those are not the real one. So first, what is BGP? BGP is the air traffic controller for all the routes on the internet between autonomous systems. So basically, you tell a BGP server that you own some routes and that you want the traffic to go to you when somebody wants to talk to that route. So GoPGP is in between to distribute all the routes between different autonomous systems. So what is the problem that we want to solve that needs to be that for which we need GoPGP to scale? So we have different tenants that want to distribute the routes between different devices that they own across the world in different POPs. And but we don't want to share the routes they distribute with us. We want them to have a segmented way of distributing their own routes and have multiple peering with us. But for that, maybe we could have hundreds and thousands of peering with one single customer in one POP, and we want to have multiple customers in the same region. So if we take an example, a tenant wants to connect with us and start sharing some routes, so it will register itself through our fabric. The management plane, we inform our BGP plane, the control plane, that a new tenant wants to peer with us. We'll start a new GoBGP server for it, and then some devices for the tenant will try to peer with us, and maybe multiple of them. We expect sometimes thousands of them in one single region, and they will be able to start sharing routes with them, and we will redistribute them across all the different pairings that they have with us in this POP and in other POPs where the client is connected to. So we can see that, for example, the first one we start appearing at a given address 169.254.0.1, and we have a NAT layer that will be mapping this client to its tenant server, and if another device tries to connect, they will have another device ID, and we'll be able to know to which server we need to map them so they can peer with this exact server for the tenant. So what do we need? The tenants can come and go in one single POP or multiple POP. There can be thousands of tenants in one POP. They can create different devices can connect at once in one POP, so it is really dynamic. And also, we want to be able to customize the path, vehiculate some metadata in the path in our fabric, because as I said, maybe the client is connected in multiple POP, and we want to just add metadata to those paths to pass them to other POPs so that we know from where a path is coming from originally. So we need a way to manipulate the path as we want to vehiculate this metadata. And as I said, there can be thousands of tenants in one single POP that are coming and going, potentially with also a lot of peers. And in the end, it makes a lot of routes to catch and vehiculate. So we want to be able to serve all the tenants as rapidly as possible. So we made a round of all the different open source BGP implementation on the market. So there is Bird, which is fast, but it's only usable with static configuration. So you give it a huge file that describes where are your peers, how they will connect to you, etc., etc. The same for FRR. It's also really fast, but still you need to give it a static configuration on how you expect the different tenants to connect. So this is not dynamic, and this is the first point of what we need for our system to be able to add rapidly new tenants. So the third alternative is GoBGP, which allow to add new peers, paths, etc. via an API directly in Go, and that solves our problem. There is two main ways to integrate with GoBGP. The first one is as a Go package, so you can just use it as a library, so you have access to all the internals, and you can just, well, do whatever you want with the GoBGP plane, so with the routes, the peers, etc. Or you can also have it as a daemon running on your server, and you can make gRPC requests to it. But we choose GoBGP for three main reasons. The one is, as I said, we want a dynamic system, so GoBGP is the to-go solution. We want strong path manipulation. I know that Bird has some DSL where you can manipulate the path, but not as strongly as you can do with GoBGP. In GoBGP, you receive the path, you can do whatever you want with it, and redistribute it elsewhere. And also, as I said, you can use it as a Go package, and most of our agents are written in Go, so it is really easy to use it. The only issue compared to Bird and FRR is that it does not scale well. So I will show you some numbers on some benchmarks that we have done on GoBGP. And the benchmark setup is as follows. We have a Bird server with a fixed number of threads that can have access to an unlimited number of RAM. We have a static configuration simulating a huge client that wants to peer thousands of times with us. And through each peering, we'll be sending a certain amount of routes that we expect our clients to send us. And we have, on the opposite side, a GoBGP server on which we'll inform on the go new tenants. And so it will have, we'll expect new peerings to arrive. So we'll be monitoring the peering, we'll be monitoring the number of routes, and we'll also do some profiling on the GoBGP server. So, for example, with 1,000 peers that exchange 50 routes over their peering, we can see that in 1 minute, we have connected all the peers and all the routes have been received on the GoBGP side. And we can go upper with 2,500 also in 2 minutes. We have all the peers that get connected, all the routes received, but we can see there, sorry, I cannot cross there. There is a small step, and we'll see some issue with the GoBGP 3.37 that we have encountered. And there, with 6,000 peers, 20 routes each, we can see that we connect all the peers in 5 minutes, we receive all the routes, but it's kind of our limit. We don't want to be too long, because 5 minutes still can be too long for some customer. You are waiting a few minutes to have all your routes being distributed across your network. You don't want to wait that long to be able to receive your traffic. And we can see that there is small steps there is one of the limitation of GoBGP 3.37, where everything goes through one single channel, Go channel. So your management, your API calls, your GoBGP message, all of that goes through one channel. So that makes that when you have some peers that get established, that start sending routes, that you have GoBGP updates to populate to other peering, you also push that update into the same channels that is bounded. And so you cannot manage all the API calls to the add peer. So we are telling GoBGP on the fly that we want to add some peers at the start of the test, but we can see that we cannot add all the peers just at the beginning because other BGP messages are polluting the channel. So it makes the test go a bit longer, but also it shapes all the peers are able to connect to us. So at the beginning, few peers can connect, start exchanging routes, and we add over time other peers because the previously connected peers started sending routes and polluted the channel. Same things with 7,000 peers. We can see that it takes longer the more peers we get. And same thing with 10,000 peers. And after that, in GoBGP 4.0, we worked with the maintainer of GoBGP to remove that limitation of sending everything to the same channel and splitting the management and API channel with the BGP updates. But still, there is an issue. When we receive an update, we have a big lock that prevents anything to be updated because we need to fetch the table of the path. We need to fetch all the peers that are connected, start sending routes, etc. So the first solution was to have a big lock around that. But then you have a huge huge contention around that lock. And we'll start seeing this issue at 6,000 peer. We can see that there is no more the step on the add peer over time because we are able to add all the peer at once at the starting of the test. We are not limited by the bonded channel. But we are, because of the contention, some peer, we can see, will not be able to receive the keep alive messages needed to keep the session alive. And so after the old timer expire, we can see that the number of peer decrease because some peering just dies. And we start over because we release some contention on the lock and we are able to establish some connection. But as soon as we receive messages, there is more contention over and over. But in the end, we are able in 15 to 20 minutes to connect all the peer. And for 7,000 peers, we can see that it is an issue. We are not able to connect all the peer at any given time. So some of my colleagues that is in the room, Nicolas Planel, worked on raising the contention and this lock and were able. So now, 2 days, with all the work that I've been on the channel and on the lock, we are able to have 6,000 peers and multiple tens of routes per peering under 30 seconds, which is better than what was capable GoBGP 3.37 and what we have now. So, as I said, 3.37 was capable of multiple thousands of peer, but there was this limitation because of the main Go channel. 3.0 decouples this channel, but introduces another issue because of contention, and there is a PR that is open for review that solves all these issues. But still, we want to go higher. Multiple thousands of peer with multiple tens of routes is great, but we really want to go higher than that. So what can we do? We can just scale out GoBGP. So what we can do is that since we have already a NAT layer just before the GoBGP servers that map a device to a tenant server, we can just replicate multiple tenant server and redistribute all the routes that the server receives to all the other server thanks to the GoBGP API. And the NAT will also be a load balancer in that case. And when you receive a new connection from a device, you just assign it to a tenant server so we can spread the load more efficiently on a different GoBGP server for the same tenant. And so currently there is 4.2 that is released. But still, there is not the great patch of Nicolas that solves all the issue of GoBGP. And still, there is a lot of places that can be optimized for in GoBGP where other locks can be removed or optimized. So if you are interested in program software optimization, you can have a look. And thanks for your attention.
Great, thanks Maxime. Hey, so we have time for questions.
What about Open BigGPD and EXA BigGPD? Did you try with them?
The
two other free software, BigGPD Diamonds, Open BigGPD and EXA BigGPD?
No, we didn't go with that either because I just presented the three of them with Bird and NFR because Go, there is dynamicity and also the fact that we use Go in a lot of our code base, so using GoBGP was really a to-go. And actually, I don't remember if they have also an API-driven capabilities on this project.
In ExaBitGPD, yes, because the entire point is to be able to manipulate from the program.
It is in Python, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I don't recall why we got with the GoBGP, but I think it was a choice also because it was solving our issue of dynamicity and that we were familiar with Go and that a lot of our code base is in Go and it was more integrated with what we were doing.
Thanks for the talk. Have you got baseline numbers on FR and BERT for the same number of routes and whatnot?
I don't have them there, but yeah, we tried some time ago. We were facing these issues of scaling before having multiple servers for the same tenant. We tried with BERT, like, you know, updating the static configuration file on the go. And basically, we got exactly the same numbers than with GoBGP. So, update
after the fix or before the fix?
Before the fix. Before the fix.
Yes. Any other questions? Okay.
When you load balance the BGP peering, how do you make sure that you are still always connected to the same peer on the backend?
So I have a backup slide, but maybe it does not show. So I removed a lot on how we are passing the GoBGP messages. So the device first go through an IPsec tunnel, and there we can know which tenant it is and which device it is. And we have a tunnel. The NAT also does decapsulating of the tunnel, so it knows which device and which tenant it is. And after that, we just assign based on the device ID. You know, you just do a modulo the number of server, and you end up always on the same server.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the talk. I wonder if you are targeting a use case with high availability routes, and if so, then you probably would want a BFDD. Do you plan?
What?
BFDD protocol.
Oh. BFD.
Yeah, BFD. Yes.
BFD. Okay.
BFD.
For high availability.
It's a companion protocol for BGP that allows faster switch of routes.
Okay.
Were you working on?
No, actually we didn't, maybe we didn't look into it because our needs were fulfilled already with what we were doing. But you say it's complementary?
It's complementary and it's targeting fast switch when peers go down.
Sorry.
Okay. No, we did not look into that, so I'm sorry, I'm not able to answer to that.
Okay. Anyone else with a question? All right. Well, then let's give a nice hand to Maxine.
Thanks.